Well, this morning we're going to continue in our series on hard times. Previously, in the last 3 weeks, we've talked about having the right attitude, praying through your hard times, and we've even talked about not being discouraged when things don't go the way that you want them to go during your hard times. Today, we're going to talk about one of the hardest things to do in hard times, and that is to ask for help. Asking for help from others is something that many of us have an aversion to. We don't like to ask for help. It's one thing to pray and ask God for help in the privacy of our own room, but it's quite another to share with someone on a personal level about what we really need and what we really desire. Whether that's asking a friend, talking with the pastor, seeking professional help, whatever it may be, it's very, very difficult for us to do. Why is that? Why is it hard for us to ask for help? And I want to ask you that this morning. Why is it hard to ask for help? Maybe not for you, but for people in general. Just call out a few reasons why it is hard to ask for help. Pride? Fear? Don't want to bother people? Maybe you're the person that's usually giving the help. Embarrassing? Weakness? That was real easy to come up with a lot of reasons, wasn't it? And I've heard all of those reasons from different people, and I've probably used them myself. Probably one for me is what someone said about, usually I'm the one giving the help, so I don't like to be the one to ask for help. And I don't want to be a bother. And I have some pride. I don't want to be embarrassed that I need help. After all, I'm the pastor, and I have it all together, right? Don't laugh. Scripture is very clear that in hard times, we are to ask for help. Proverbs says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." So when we are in times of need, we are to ask help. We are to seek guidance. We are to seek the wise and not walk in the way of fools. In 2 Kings 4, we read about another story about where someone asked for help. This was in the time of Elisha the prophet, and he was met by a widow. And the widow had been married to one of the men who was in the group of prophets. And she came to Elisha and she said, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves." So she's in a predicament. She has no way to make money, and the creditor's coming, and if you don't pay the creditor, then she's going to have to sell her sons into slavery to pay back that debt. So Elisha asked, "What do you have in your home?" And she says, "All that I have left is a flask of olive oil." Elisha told her to borrow as many jars and containers that she could from her neighbors and from her friends, and to take those back to her house. Then she was to close the door and, with her son's help, pour the oil out of the flask into the jars. And she did this, and she poured and poured and poured, and she filled every single jar she had borrowed with that olive oil. Her sons kept bringing her jars, and every single jar was filled to the brim until there were no jars left to fill. She told Elisha about the miracle, and he told her to sell the oil and use that money to pay for the debts, and then to use the leftover money to live on, to survive. This would not have happened had she not gone to Elisha and sought out help. She had to come to the point of getting desperate and saying, "I need help." And she went to Elisha, the man of God, and God provided for her through this prophet, Elisha. Often when we ask, God gives us more than what we asked for and gives us more than what we could have ever desired. All she was asking for was enough to pay off the debt. But she got more than that. She was given money to live on as well. Now, as we talked about last time, it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes we don't get what we feel like we need. But it's at least comforting to know that there's someone walking alongside of us in that time of distress, in that hard times. And that's what asking for help does. It doesn't always present a solution like this for us, but it gives you someone to talk to, someone to be there for you in your time of need. And it's okay to admit that you need someone in your time of need. That's part of what the church is about, to be there to support one another and to comfort one another and to pray for one another. I'm going to ask Jeff Crawshaw, a.k.a. Bubba, to come up and share about a time in his life when he's had hard times and he had to set aside his pride and ask for help.
I started drinking alcohol at the age of 15. When I got into my 20s, I drank 4 days a week in my 20s. I never thought that it was anything bad. All my friends were doing it. They were having a good time. We were all out partying. And I didn't think I was hurting anyone else. So in 99, I got married and slowed down to what I would call social binge drinking. I couldn't go out and just have one or two drinks and then go home to my family. I had to drink until I couldn't walk, I couldn't talk, I couldn't drive, couldn't think. And sometimes I drank until I blacked out. Now, this should have been a warning sign to me, but it wasn't. I didn't think about it. It just was something that happened. Well, the blackout started getting worse. I started driving home from Hayes after going out and driving clear back to the little town of McCracken at that time before I got married. And I don't know if any of you know where the Liebenthal McCracken Road is out there. You have to take a little S curve to get onto Highway 4 so you can go into McCracken. Well, there were three different times that I blacked out driving home from that and woke up like a mile outside of McCracken. Had no idea how I got through that S curve. No idea where I'd been. No idea what was going on. Sometimes it was even no idea who I was at the moment. That should have been a wake-up call. But it wasn't. December 30th of 2006 was the last time I took a drink. And it was also the time that I hit rock bottom. I'd been out to a party. It was my brother-in-law's birthday party. Billy and I had went. And I hadn't even planned on drinking there. I was going to stop myself that for one evening. I was not going to go out and drink. And the addiction to alcohol caught up with me. And I drank an entire two bottles. They were both gifts from my brother-in-law that somebody else had given me. I finished them for him. I remember crawling into the car with my wife, and we were arguing at the time. When I woke up, I was being pulled out of the car and was being sprayed in the face with mace by police officers. I had hurt my wife severely. Now again, this should have been a wake-up call. It should have said something to me. But my pride wouldn't let me go back and get any help. I wasn't going to take any help. I didn't need any help. I was a big guy. I had broad shoulders. I had a mind. I could think. I could get myself out of this problem. But I couldn't. So I went to jail. I spent 3 days there. I got out, got bailed out luckily by my wife and my sister and a friend. And they came and told me that I ought to go to AA. But I didn't think I needed AA. I was strong enough. I could handle all this problem. I could handle anything. No, I couldn't. But I didn't want to ask for help. But finally, they talked me and I went anyway. The other thing that I realized when I got there is how is me sitting in a room full of drunks and addicts going to get me to stop drinking? And it's going to help me. And I thought that to myself the first time I got there. And all of a sudden I heard a man get up and he told my story to a T. He knew exactly what I was going through, where I was going, and what was going on, and how I was living. And it struck home with me. And in AA, you know, they teach you to basically deal with it. Of course, you've all heard it, one day at a time. Well, it's not only one day at a time. Sometimes it's 1 hour at a time. Sometimes it's 1 minute at a time. And when he told my story, I understood what AA was all about and what getting help was all about. I'm one of the few people in my AA group. In fact, I'm one of two that quit cold turkey and we didn't go to rehab. I'm not bragging about that. What I'm bragging about is God was with me through that entire time. I didn't think so. I didn't believe so. I didn't want it to be because my pride wouldn't let me. But God was there. AA teaches you to go to your higher power for help. The church teaches you to go to your higher power for help and to ask for those things. And it took me, probably, you can ask Billy, it probably took me the first 3 years of going through AA to realize that. 3 years. So, I'm pretty hard-headed and I'm stubborn. And you can attest that, you can ask Billy that question too. But once I realized that God can help you and give you the help that you need, and I was able, willing to ask for it, my life became much easier. You know, now I'm coming up on, in December, it'll be 10 years sober, and is there a day when I still think about having a drink? Yeah. But is there a day that I don't pray to God at some point during the day? There's not one day that I don't pray to God and ask Him to keep me sober. So, when you're going through hard times and everything's tough, don't be like me. Don't put yourself through a lot of pain and suffering. Ask for help. God.
Sometimes we all need help. And no matter how stubborn we are, we need to ask for it. Proverbs also said, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. If we're in hard times, it's essential that we reach out for help. And we need to reach out when things start to go bad. We don't have to wait until we hit rock bottom. And even if we are the ones that normally provide help, it's okay to be the receiver. When you need help, there are many places you can go. You can come to your church family. You can come to me. You can go to a professional counselor. You can go to groups like AA. There's many resources available. You just have to be willing to ask. And as Americans, we don't like to ask for help. We value what? Our independence. All through growing up years, what are you being told? You've got to learn this so you can be what? Independent. And then we get to adulthood and we're like, okay, now we're independent, right? And everything should be rosy. But that's not how it works. In hard times, God does not expect us to go through it alone. He's designed the church to be a support system for his children. And that's one reason why it's important to be connected to a church family. If you're here today and you don't have a church family, I would invite you to join in our church family. Because we will welcome you just as you are. As you are. You don't have to tick a lot of boxes to become a member here at our church, to be a member of our church family. We want you just as you are. And we have faith that as you be with us and you're with us, God will transform your heart. God will transform your mind. In my own life, I've had to ask for help many times. And I don't like to do it either. One area in particular that I had to ask for help with was with my mental health. As most of you probably already know, I am bipolar. And to be bipolar means that I have a chemical imbalance in my brain that makes me swing between times of mania and highs to depressions, which are really low. And that just happens. I'm fortunate enough to be a rapid cycler. So I go through that. I can go through a full swing, a full cycle in a week's time or sooner. Early in college, I knew that something was wrong. Even in high school, my senior year, I remember there was only 2 weeks left of school, and I was feeling so down that I went to my counselor, my school counselor, and said, how do I drop out of high school? I don't know why I would ask how to do that instead of just stop going. But I don't know. She talked me off the ledge at that point, and I finished high school and went on to college. When I got to college, I continued to have trouble emotionally and struggling with these highs and these lows and going back and forth and never knowing how I was going to feel from day to day. It was not until I finally asked for help and talked to someone and said, this is not right, something is going on inside of me and I do not know what it is, that I was able to get help. Now, it took nearly a decade for me to become stable. 10 years before I got to the point where I said, okay, my moods are not quite as crazy as they once were. But it's still not easy. I still have mood swings regularly. And it's hard because you feel yourself going one way and you feel yourself going the other way, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can't just put on a happy face and have a good attitude about it. It's not how brain imbalance, chemical imbalance works. And so I'm on medication, and I'll be on medication for the rest of my life. And it irritates me at times. I don't want to be dependent on medication. I don't want to be bipolar. And yet, I am. And so I just have to deal with it. This is a bit of a tangent, but I once had a desire to become president of the United States. And I thought that would be really cool, and I still think that would be really cool. Anybody who wants to play Hail to the Chief when I walk in is welcome to do that. But you don't want to give someone who's bipolar the key to the nuclear arsenal. Okay, that's probably not a good idea. Okay, and I realize that people will probably not think that's a good idea. So becoming president is probably not something, and that's probably the only reason why I couldn't be president, really. Again, the laughter. What is the deal? But I couldn't have gotten through being diagnosed and the hospitalizations and the outpatient clinic and the doctor after doctor after doctor and the medication after medication. If you ever want to know about psych meds, I can probably tell you exactly my experience with hundreds of them, it feels like. But the pastor of the first church that I worked at, when a lot of this was really coming to the surface, his name was Richard, he really helped me to get a handle on it. And of course, my wife at the time, who was told she should just divorce me rather than go through this with me at the beginning, because I wasn't a nice person to live with at the time, especially when I was swinging one way or the other. But she stuck with me, and she helped me when it was not easy for her. And some people say, well, Kevin, you're just a great guy and a hero. And I said, no, really, it's Lori who's the hero, because she stuck with me. Because if it wasn't for Lori sticking with me, I wouldn't be standing here today, because I wouldn't be on medication. I believe that. If it weren't for my kids and my wife and my church family, I would go off my medication in an instant. If I hadn't gone through this, or am going through this, though, I wouldn't be able to tell my story to people in that way. I've counseled many people who are going through it and talked to many people, especially on that initial diagnosis when the doctor says, you are bipolar. That is freaky time, just as with any diagnosis. But I've been able to walk through that with people. I've been able to write about it. I've had people in the community that I've talked to about it. But I would not be able to do that and stand up here today had I not asked for help. And sometimes that help comes quickly, and sometimes that help doesn't come quickly. But you've got to be able to ask for help. If it weren't for my faith, my family, and my friends, I wouldn't have made it through. Maybe you're dealing with something today and you haven't asked for help. Maybe it's an addiction to alcohol, drugs, pornography. Maybe it's a mental health issue that you're not admitting. Maybe it's a financial need that you have that you don't want to tell anyone. Maybe it's a marriage counseling issue where your marriage is falling apart and you don't know what to do. Whatever it is, I'm here to tell you, it's going to be a lot easier if you have someone to walk with you through that. And I'm not saying put a prayer request in at the beginning of church and announce your problem to the world. I'm saying talk to one or two people who you trust who can really help you through that. Because there are people in this congregation who have gone through something similar to what you're going through. May not be exactly what you're going through, but someone in here or someone that we know has gone through something similar. And that can be a great encouragement. Finding people when I was diagnosed who were bipolar, who were making it, was of great encouragement to me. Because I saw, you know what? If they can do it, then maybe I can do it too. It's not hopeless. And to have my family and friends right there alongside me to help me. So if you're going through something today and you haven't asked for help and you want to ask for help, I encourage you, if you feel comfortable, and even if you don't, just call me or text me or send me a message or something. Let's connect, even on the phone, as much as I don't like the phone. It's okay. You can call me about this. Okay? I want to be able to walk with you through this. During today's invitation, if you want to come forward and pray up front, you can, but I know that's hard. I know that's a big step. And so if you want to talk to me privately about it, I will pray for you, for your needs. I will walk with you through that. And there are members of this congregation that will do the same thing. As overseers, we get together and we pray for you guys at our meetings, and we talk about who needs prayer and what things need to happen in the congregation. And that's all done in confidence. It's for prayer and for spiritual guidance. It's not so we can tell everyone's problems. Because we all have problems, we all have issues. So my encouragement to you today is, if you're going through a hard time, reach out. Reach out to me, reach out to someone in this church who can help you through this. Because you do not have to go through this life alone. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you that you have given us a church family and friends and family members and community members and professionals, God, who can offer us help in times of our trouble. Help us to see that it's not anything negative, God, to reach out and say, I need help. I pray, God, for the individuals in this room who are struggling. We know that there are people here struggling today, God. And I just pray earnestly that you would put it upon their hearts to ask for help. In Jesus' name we pray.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas, 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.